Hello, my beauties and beauties. Welcome to today's episode of You For You, a podcast for you, about you, to be a better you. This is your host and creator, KD, also known as @IloveYourBeautifulFace on IG. So today we have special guest, Ola.
Hi, my name is Ola. I'm the CEO and founder of Balanced and Bloom Mental Health and Counseling Services. And I'm so excited to be here.
We're so happy to have you here. Can you tell us a little bit about the business and where the idea came from? Like, what was your process?
Having my own practice has always been a passion of mine. The name Balanced and Bloom kind of just sounds so like cliche, but it kind of just came to me just with the idea of within the therapeutic process, wanting to maintain balance through growth. So that's where the bloom came in. And then obviously the part that's balanced came from wanting to maintain balance in your therapeutic journey and in your therapeutic growth.
That sounds really cool. That sounds cool. And I think it's definitely needed. We were talking a little bit earlier off recording about how people want to reach this expectation when really it's just another version of yourself. And sometimes it's about prioritizing yourself to find that balance within you. Like, it's not this whole new person you're going to, you know, become. But you got to take a little bit of the old and balance it with the new kind of thing. So I like that. Can you talk a little bit about your profession, like what you do for work, and how are you like managing having this new business and like still going to work every day?
Yeah, so my license is an LPC, which stands for a licensed professional counselor. And I did 4 years undergrad and then 2 years of master's, and then there's a whole host of hours that we have to do, 4,500 to be exact, I believe, to qualify for our license. So the 4,500 hours are a culmination of what you do in what we call practicum, which is the first half, and then internship, which is the second half. And then after you graduate, you then do a whole, like, finish out the rest of your hours. So for me, that was 2.5 years after post-graduation that I did these hours in order to get licensed. For New Jersey, like I said, it's 4,500. For other states, it's a little less. I know some of my friends got licensed in PA. I'm pretty sure they only needed 3,000 hours. So Jersey, I had to put in a little bit more work. And right now, my job is a school counselor. My formal title is an SEL specialist, so social emotional learning specialist. And I do that 5 days out of the week. How do I balance that with my private practice? I'm not too sure. Every time, I guess, like after work, I get off work at 3:15, so I get home by 4. So I kind of dedicate like 2 hours every day to, you know, work on anything that has to do with my private practice, whether it be content, responding to emails, you know. I try to do that after work hours and on the weekend.
So ours works a little bit different for OT. The degree that I have now, it was 2 8-week rotations. They didn't put it in hours. It was just 9 to 5, Monday through Friday, 2 8-week rotations, 40 hours a week. And whatever that accumulated to when you were done was, that's what it was, but it wasn't paid. So for my master's that I want to go for, it's 2 6-month rotations, unpaid, Monday through Friday, 40 hours kind of like set up. And it's just like, I don't know, some of the internships, it's like you learn so much and it really like works for what you need for your profession and just like exposing you to different things. But it's like, realistically, you know, we're young, we don't have any kids, we don't have a family to feed. Like, we're just out here living and, you know, furthering our education, but like that's really all that we're doing. So like some of my classmates that had full families, like 3-4 kids and a spouse and a mortgage, and I'm like, I don't know what. Like, I don't know how. And like, even the jobs you get before like you graduate, like you're working at Target or working at a Starbucks or whatever it is, like people be having whole families and having to support themselves, their families, their lifestyle, and get this degree at the same time that you're trying to do it.
So Balance and Bloom is definitely a passion. I don't want to call it a project because it's a real thing now, but it's definitely a passion of mine, all centered around the person and who you are within. So back to like the name of the business, Balance and Bloom, is continuing in balance in a steady state during your growth. That's like my mission and my goal when I see clients, and like the mission and the goal of when when I have my events and entering spaces with like clients and other individuals. I'm having my first event January 10th, 2026. I don't want to tell too much about it. I know we'll probably go into it a little bit more, but I'm super excited. And just like an extension of my vision for my practice in this event is to just create spaces where people can realign and refocus with who they are within and like kind of tune out all that loudness and noise that's going on around them and refocus with who they are and who they want to be within.
Right. That is so exciting, actually. So like the basis of the business and what you're saying, like your goal is, are those things that you feel like you have encountered along your mental health journey or just within your life? Like you had to find your own balance and it kind of is helping you now put it on the forefront of this business now?
Most definitely. I think that it's a constant practice for myself to tune out the world and focus on me. The age of society that we're in, we're consuming so much content from other content creators, people that we may think have a better lifestyle than us, people whose lifestyle we want to emulate. And that all like gets, we're seeing that daily. And it's kind of hard sometimes to forget what your purpose is and what your mission is. And I had to kind of take a step back and take a beat and think about who I want to be. And that's kind of where this private practice blossomed out of, because I also crave balance in my life and I also want to grow into a better version of myself. And by no means am I perfect, but I also want to help individuals who are navigating the same situation. So doing that through sessions, you know, with my expertise in counseling, doing it through wellness events, community wellness events where I'm creating spaces for these individuals. It has been something, like I said, that I've been working on for a long time, and it's going to be something I continue to work on because it's a constant practice. It's not like a one and done. You find the balance and you're done growing. Like you're going to keep growing for the rest of your life as long as you're alive.
Right, because healing never stops. Like even if you heal from one thing, you know, life is not going to be perfect after that. Like your things are going to happen. You're going to lose people, you're going to lose opportunities. You might gain some things that you just need to learn how to navigate. I feel like now for me, like I realized like now I'm after 25, like that era, that 1 to 25 era was deep. Or even you can say the end of high school to the end of your like college career. Like you said, you were in there for what? That's like 8 years almost that you completed everything to your license. Yeah. Like that's a whole nother era, like a whole nother like timeline. And I feel like now I'm in my adult timeline. I was talking to Mel about that a few weeks ago. And it's just like, you're always going to have something new to navigate. There's always going to be something, you know, if you start a family, you start a business, like no matter what's going on in life, you might always have to have that counseling and that like muscle memory, we call it, in the back, like okay, I've encountered this before, how am I gonna get through it this time? Or I've never encountered this before, I need help, or just I need guidance kind of thing. So yeah,
I definitely agree with the idea that healing never stops. Like you're constantly going to be growing from one experience or the other. And I think that's where like counseling comes in and therapy comes into play, because sometimes people think that I only need to go to therapy if I have like a big problem. Sometimes it's not a big problem. It's just like I just need help and guidance navigating a situation. Sometimes it's not as intense as people think it is. It's more of like a reflective process where you have to unlearn some things that you've become accustomed to, or you just need help realigning yourself to touch and reconnect back with that person that you want to become. And that's kind of the space that I love to create for clients and for individuals to just like be in a space where it feels authentic to them. It feels calming. It feels reflective. It doesn't feel, so I mean, sometimes therapy is going to be intense, but it doesn't have to be a scary thing.
Okay. So I want to ask you a question, and you know, you can answer as much as you want or as less as you want kind of thing. So I've talked about in my old episodes about how I'm definitely a person that should be in therapy, but I haven't gone down that road because it's like, to me, it's a little bit intimidating. It's a little bit impersonal. And I just, like the personal side of it and then the financial side of it, like I feel like, you know, I don't have some huge big crazy mental illness where I'm harming myself or harming others or like it's detrimental to my life. So I'm like, I don't feel as though I should be forking out all this cash. Not to say that the therapists don't deserve it, like they do, but I feel like they should be catering to the people who like are in dire need of it kind of thing. And I think even though how like chaotic my life is, if I can handle that on my own, I'd rather just handle it on my own or like talk to God about it and then go forward. You know what I'm saying? Because then I'm like, what if the day comes where I really do need it and now it's like I done expended all my. So there's that. And then the impersonal side of just like, I did start after my father had passed away, and I did the consultation, which was with one person. I did the intake, which was with another person. And then when I actually got to an actual therapist, they were like, I saw her like maybe three times for an hour via Zoom. And after my third session with her, I felt comfortable. I was like, okay, like, you're cool. Like, I feel comfortable talking to you. Now I'm ready to, like, open up in the next session. She was like, that's great. As soon as we got off the Zoom call, the next phone call was from the office. And they were like, oh, yeah, like, your insurance, like, fell out. Yeah, like, you're not getting a session next week. And then they're like, here's a bill. Like, and they gave me a bill for, like, X amount of money. And I was like, I didn't even get to, like, you know, really, like, reap the benefits of it. And at that point, I thought I really did need it really bad because I had like insomnia, I was grieving, like a whole bunch of stuff was going on. And I ended up having to heal myself from it because I was like, I don't have any money to pay these people and I'm not going to find it in the next X amount of days. So I'm just going to have to figure it out on my own. And I've gotten used to doing that. Like, so even through like trauma through high school and stuff, like I've gotten used to dealing with it on my own. But it's like you say, like, everybody could benefit from some therapy. Like, everybody doesn't have to be a huge life event where, you know, you're going through this dire time and you need that help. But my question to you is, like, from your perspective, your experience, and, you know, who have you treated, etc., like, do you feel like people, like you said, people getting it when big things are not happening just on a regular basis to keep that balance, do you think that it's beneficial either way? Or do you think like there's a little bit of like integrity of navigating your own mental health? So like what I'm doing versus like when people go to therapy, or do you think it's better to just have a little bit of both and kind of like go through that in your own, you know what I'm saying? Like,
okay. So I want to touch on so many things you said, because you said a lot. Your question to me is, do I think that therapy is worth it for those people that haven't experienced like real life shattering events? And I think it depends on the person. I have been in this field, I would say, for about 4-ish years. And I've seen my fair share of clients. My niche, honestly, in my heart is really in working with kids. And I have told a lot of parents that right now your child doesn't care for therapy. And do they need it? Possibly, yes, but they don't care for it. So if they don't want to be here, we can't really do much growth if they don't want to be here. So it's really up to the person. Like, if you think that you can navigate your current situation through like self-help and just learning more about yourself and doing that work, you're doing that work. Sometimes people just need that extra guidance and that person to kind of like list it out for them. Like, okay, have you tried this coping skill? Let's tie this into something that may have happened in childhood. Sometimes people need that extra work. I do think that everyone can benefit from some type of therapeutic service, whether it be actually going to therapy, getting involved in like community events like I'll be having, or like just consuming content that therapists put out. In this age that we're in, you have therapists on TikTok, which like I'm on TikTok, guys. Like on Instagram, you have YouTube, you have therapists putting out so much content because we see the need, and not everyone is in the financial position to go to therapy. And we understand that because therapy is expensive. Sometimes, like you said, your insurance just said, no, we're not paying for this anymore. And that is honestly so horrible. I don't want to get on my soapbox about that because I did some years in community mental health too. So horrible. So horrible because like insurance, you're here to pay for it and they do their thing. And sometimes they pay, sometimes they don't. And then when you say your out-of-pocket fee, people's jaws hit the floor. So I completely understand that. And I think that's why it's important to create other spaces where people can consume the knowledge that they may need from some type of therapeutic service. So you might, my wellness event, for example, you're not going to get everything that you're going to get from sitting in a room with me or sitting on Zoom with me and having a therapeutic session, but you'll get a sprinkle or a touch of what it feels like to realign with and reconnect with yourself. So there's ways to make it happen. It's really up to, and if you think therapy is not for you, but you want, you are craving that kind of guidance, grounding, realignment, reconnection, it's now on you to find those channels and find those outlets. And then also on us as therapists to create these spaces and see the need.
Okay, I understand. Just making like a safe space without it being like super, super serious. So what would you say that your client therapist relationship is like with the patients you have had?
So my relationship with my clients, or like the vibe that I try to give off, is this like therapist energy, homegirl honesty. I like for clients to feel comfortable with me. Like we're sitting on a couch and having a conversation, but like I'm also going to check you therapeutically. Like I'm also good. Like I'm not going to sit here and enable you. Like if you want to go back to your toxic ex, I'm not going to sit here and be your homegirl and be like, yeah, girl, do it for the plot. Like I'm going to say, no, last time you did it for the plot, X, Y, and Z happened. Let's think about that. And how'd that make you feel? And what were your behaviors after that? We're going to bridge that connection. Cause at the end of the day, we're trying to help you grow. Me enabling those negative behaviors is not helping you grow. So yes, we're going to like, you're going to tell me like, oh, I went out this weekend. I'm like, oh, really? Tell me more. Cause I want to hear about it. Right. But once we start talking about experiences that we've already know haven't helped you grow, I'm not going to enable that. We're not going back to that. So I feel like I have had clients leave my office upset with me, and I let them know. I'm like, you might be upset, like, and that's okay. And you're upset with me. That's fine. Let's reflect on this, and we're going to come back next session and talk about it. And that's okay. That's what we're here to do. We're here to grow. I've had clients even leave my like office and say, I don't want to see you anymore because you're hitting too hard. Or I've had clients ghost me because I may have told them, don't go back to that toxic ex. And that's what they wanted to do. So, I mean, to each their own. But definitely try to give off that, you know, wholesome homegirl vibe. Like, want you to really feel the energy, feel like you're being heard and seen. And I'm not that stonewall therapist that sits there and says, write stuff down. No, like we need some emotion. We need some vibes. We need to feel something in the room.
Right. And I can definitely say me being, you know, somebody who's on the outside, like I'm definitely afraid of getting like that therapist who's just not going to give me like any feedback, or who's going to be like, just do whatever you want. Like, do whatever makes you happy. Kind of like, which is like, you wanna feed that, but like you said, with the balance, like, okay, we know that this behavior got us in a bad situation, let's not do that again. Like you say, like checking them, like, and making them be vulnerable, but also checking them. Like, I can definitely say I'm a person, I don't like that. I'm like, oh, we don't have to talk about the negatives though. Like, let's talk about how we had such a great time. But it's like, but then you were depressed. Exactly. Then you were depressed afterwards. But I would definitely say, like, I feel like a lot of people are afraid of being vulnerable and then being shot down. Mm-hmm. Like, yeah, you can live in your peace and all that and everything, but you have to be a little bit structured or it's not going to be sustainable.
I definitely think that people are more open to that. Like, clients will be more open to that if they feel like they have a trusting relationship with their therapist. A lot of people are afraid to get into that space because, number one, they don't want to be shot down, like you said. And number two, they're afraid to let somebody in. And then you get, like you said, you go do your intake, you're with somebody else, you do your consultation, you're with somebody else, and then you finally get to your therapist, and your therapist is now asking or looking at all these papers or like asking you, so what are you here for? Right. So it's like, now I'm restating everything that I've already stated. And I've been that therapist, and I see the look on that client's face, and it's just like, I'm sorry, unfortunately this is our process. And that's why I was like so driven to make my private practice, because I'm just like, I want to guide you through all these steps. So as you're doing your consultation, as you're doing your intake, we're building that relationship. So when I sit here and I just dive right in, it's not like you don't know me. You've seen me twice, or you've seen me three times before. We built this relationship, and now I can check you, right? Like, therapeutically, don't get me wrong, like with the Ezra therapeutically. But then it's also that other side to it of like, you let your friend do it. You tell them all your business, you tell them everything, and then they sit here and be like, you're dumb. That was stupid. Right? And you're just like, you're right. Right? But then if a therapist were to do it, you were like, why? People have covered their chest and been like, why would you ever say something like that to me? I'm so offended. And then again, I hear them out. I validate their feelings. Yes, like, I'm sorry that you, you know, feel offended, or you think that I was trying to offend you, but I'm just identifying a process. I'm just reflecting back what you're saying, actually, because this is what you said and this is what I reflected back, and they're actually the same. So it is intimidating, but I think it takes somebody who's willing to do that work. And like I said before, like if you're not into, you're not there yet, you don't want to see a therapist yet because that's too far of a step, like looking and exploring spaces where you can begin to do that work. So if like you're talking about like healing from a breakup, maybe you need to go to like a wholesome event that's focusing on like silence and peace. Maybe we need to do yoga. Maybe we need to focus on, you know, some inner work. Maybe we need to listen to podcasts that are about self-help. Like there's spaces and there's places that can encourage this growth within that aren't necessarily therapy. Even though I'm a therapist, I want to promote that, but there's spaces and places where people can go and still grow.
Understandable, right? So like for me, I could say that my healing process has been through creating. So baking, painting, this podcast, like putting outfits together, I go to a lot of creator events up in New York because it's just like that fulfilling feeling of like I made this from scratch, or you know, I made this thing and somebody actually likes it. Like I'm not the only person that likes it. I like that feeling. I like that feeling a lot. And I found, and even if I'll make like vlogs and stuff and I won't show it to anybody, but like putting my time into creating something that I can look at as a finished product and be proud of myself is better than like sitting in on a Saturday night, you know, with a glass of wine, just sad or just feeling sorry for myself. Like I'd rather do something with my time. That's how I like get into it. And I've been to other wellness events. We had to do a few when we had our mental health component of schooling, and just doing that as an intern, as a student, and just seeing how it helped other people. We did one at a university up there during final season. And we had, I think it was called like final week cozies or something, like something that they can come to throughout the day in the OT department. And we had different events set up and like things, I guess kind of like what you're doing kind of thing. But there was freshmen who were in there that were like, it's their first year, their first semester, they don't know what they're doing. Like, and me being at the end of my college road, I was like, honey, listen, like yeah. This is what we gonna do. Okay, you gonna get you a planner. Number one, you don't never go into no college class without no planner. That's your first mistake. Like, and you need a binder. Like, and I gave her all the college tips that I used my first couple of years in college. And like by the end of it, she was like, thank you so much. Like, this really helped me. Like, sometimes it's not being in this big office building with a couch in a room with a flower next to you and a glass of water. And we kind of have the same process, like for OT, that anything could be therapy. So obviously mine is more of a physical job. But like people want to buy like all these things. They want to have all these therapy toys for their kids and they want to go to all these things. And I'm like, sweetie, you got a bag of rice in your cabinet. Go get the rice, go get some coins and give it to your child. Like that's what I tell my patients. I'm like, you don't have to go on Amazon and blow a bag. You don't have to go to all the therapy forums and all this or be a therapist yourself to understand that anything could be therapy. And I think it goes the same thing for your profession. Like anything that will ground you and bring you back to center, you can use that to your advantage. So that's what I do with my baking business. And just, you know, I say specifically my baking business because I've really put a lot of work into it in the last like 6 months or so. But I feel like people don't really realize that doesn't have to be this big serious thing. But when it comes to the problems, like you have to sit in those and deal with that kind of thing, or you're never going to reach anywhere.
You should definitely be proud of yourself, because as I'm listening to you talk, it takes people so long to get to this place that you're at, and baking a positive coping skill. I preach that literally every day to my students. I'm like, you know, when you choose to go to the bathroom instead of popping off on your teacher, positive coping skill. Like, so like people don't think about these little things and little shifts that you can make in life that literally feed your inner self. Like baking, going for a walk, prioritizing working out. Like the gym is a safe haven for me. And like doing these small things in your life are literally such grounding moments and can set the trajectory for your day, for your week, for your month by staying consistent with them. Like, obviously, like I've been saying, like I'm a therapist. I'm going to say like, yes, come to therapy. Yes, come to therapy because I need to get paid, guys. But at the same time, I understand the climate that we're in and not everybody has the means to do so. So creating these like the spaces and places for these people to go and reconnect with themselves is so important for me. I could talk more about my event right now. It's going to be January 10th of 2026. It's in Deptford, New Jersey. So that's like South Jersey area. By the time you guys listen to this podcast, the tickets will be live. So excited. And the name of the experience is called the Homegirl Reset Experience. So all focus on resetting and realigning with the person that you are within going into the new year. Kind of ditching the idea of the new year, new me, because you've always been you. Like there's not a new you. We just need to realign to this version of you that you're becoming. So as you are getting older, as you're navigating your life experiences, you're unlocking not a new version, but you're like unlocking another side of you. Yeah, and expanding who you are. It's not like this person that was never there. This person has always been within you. So reconnecting and realigning with this woman that you want to be. So the event is for women only, and the tickets are $20 a person. There's going to be 5 intentional stations that you're going to go through. Very affirmation heavy, very grounding, very reflective. It's going to be cozy, allowed, like come cozy and like just ready to like really be in the room. There's going to be some light refreshments. There's going to be gift bags. I'm literally so excited planning this. Am I a little stressed? Little bit, but I'm having so much fun planning this event because I know how important it is for me to be in spaces and places like this. So I'm like, if I know that I would enjoy space and place like this, I know there's people out there that would want to do the same thing.
Oh, I want to go. I might have to make a little trip. I've definitely found throughout my process that creating those spaces for myself and entering rooms that I know will like benefit me mentally at the end of the day. I feel like that's kind of why I haven't like gone back to the therapy thing, because even when I was going through my breakup last year, like it wasn't really on my mind, but I had people around me like, you know, pushing the narrative, and I wasn't angry with them. I was just kind of like trying to explain that, like, basically what you're saying, like it doesn't always have to be that, you know what I mean? Like there's other ways, and like you said, either whether you're baking or you're doing whatever you're doing, you're doing the work at the end of the day. I told you off mic that I realized some things about myself. Some negative things, some positive things, everything that used to bother me before, like I'm quick to just snap off. And now I'm able to regulate that and bring it down and I talked about this in the last episode about how like reactions are reactions to other reactions. If somebody's reacting to you crazy and you react to them crazy, what you think they're gonna do after that? And that's why that people say like arguing's not gonna get you anywhere. Like being able to go from that to like, well, I'm just not gonna answer your message. I'm just not gonna answer your call, or I'm gonna leave this place. I'm gonna, you know, pretend that didn't happen. Because also some people's reactions are a reaction to you that doesn't have anything to do with you.
Yeah.
Like I could have came here mad about my Thanksgiving experience. Yeah. Because shoot, like this week put me through the ringer with my bacon business. Like I could be walking around angry right now, but I'm like, I finally get a new guest on my podcast. I'm excited. I get to see a childhood friend. Like looking at it through a different lens and just realizing like it doesn't have to be that.
Yeah.
You have choices to make.
Yeah.
And you can decide whether you want it to go positively or negatively. But I feel like also some people would take that as, well, I'm just gonna bottle everything in. There's a difference. Mm-hmm. I release my energy into other things, so into the creating. But if there is an instance where I'm angry about something and I need to release, I might release to you, but I know my limit. You know what I mean? Like, instead of popping off and taking it there, maybe I only take you halfway. You know, yeah. Maybe we'll only get to the highway, but we're not going on the highway. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like, because I also feel like that comes with like self-respect, you know, like you don't want to be letting people walk all over you and disrespect you. Also, like knowing when to be done. I've said my piece. I've said what I can say. I've given you all the information that I have, all the solutions I may have had, and you're not receptive to that. That's not my problem.
Yeah.
I put it out. It's your job to take it. That's like one example. And also just like, if you leave everything inside that bottling up, that's going to blow up. I feel like going through life and everything and just realizing that everybody has their own experiences and, you know, their own little things they're dealing with within their lives. Going through a breakup might make you pop off at work to your coworker, where it's like, it has nothing to do with you. I'm just mad about, was definitely a process I had to teach myself. And through like podcasts and like you said, the freeness of social media, TikTok is a big one. People are doing Bible studies on TikTok. They do therapy sessions. Since I'm practicing abstinence right now, I joined enjoying abstinence lives, like with other women around the country who are navigating that. There's different rooms for different things. Yeah, and some people, yeah, they'll only look at social media as a comedy outlet. You can use it for other things. And I've definitely cultivated my social media to not be for like just peer interaction. When I'm doing podcast prepped and even for my baking business, I'm on Pinterest. I'm on Facebook. I'm in Facebook groups. I love Facebook groups. That is like the best thing that has ever been invented. I love that. Like, I'm in so many. And I learn from all these people who are around the country or around the world. Some of them are like in my county. Even on a mental health perspective, dealing with a breakup or dealing with, you know, parent absence or losing a child or whatever it is, you can find these groups for free on social media. I feel like people don't look at social media like that as much as they should. This is bad. But for a small amount of time, I was on ChatGPT. They were saying like people were giving it all their information, like age, location.
But since the chat is a beautiful resource, like,
it is, but the whole like, this is my therapist, I don't agree with that. I thought that was nuts, because what people have found when using chat as a friend or helping ear is that it always agrees with you. It will always put you in the right and affirm that what you're saying is correct. Like, a lot of it is verbatim. They just repeat back to you. Yeah. It's getting dangerous and it's getting a little weird.
Scary out here. Right. Yeah, for sure. I like, just like I keep saying, like, hearing you talk, you're so reflective. And I love that. And I love
very
that.
Very self-aware.
and a lot of people, like he's saying, a lot of people aren't there yet. And for the people that aren't there yet, that do need some guidance to like figure out, you know, my errors, like where, like give insight, because there's parts of us that we don't completely see, right? That's where therapy can come into play. But at the same time, you are the professional of your own experience. I am your therapist. Yes, I have the degree. Yes, I have the knowledge. But you are your professional of your experience. You've lived this life and you know what has worked for you, what has not worked for you. What might work for you might not work for me. And I say that all the time in my sessions. I was like, Miss Ola loves to color. I tell my students, Miss Ola loves to color as a coping skill. I can sit and color for days. And I was like, but you might not like to color. Sometimes I sit the kids down. I'm like, all right, color a picture because I know you're upset. And they're like, I don't want to color. I was like, okay, so do you want to do fidgets? I don't like fidgets. So what do you need? I need a soft toy. Mm-hmm. Okay. So like finding out what works for you is key, because what might work for me might not work for you. And you may try something and hate it. That doesn't mean you stop altogether. You keep trying, you keep on finding things. And then everyone's process is different. You might think right now what I'm doing to cope with my experiences is working, like baking and cooking or working out. All these things are working for me. Sometimes it may get to the point, or there may be an experience where you're like, okay, all my coping skills that I usually do don't work, and the new ones that I'm trying aren't working. Maybe it's time for me to experiment with therapy, or maybe it's time for me to, you know, focus more on religion or focus more on something else. Literally is a whole experimental process. There's not a cut and dry way to growth. Like, it's like we keep saying, like, healing is a lifelong journey. So you're going to, as you grow, as you go through these life experiences, you're going to learn new things about yourself. You're going to learn different things about your tolerance and what you prefer and what you don't prefer, and so on and so forth. And for those who, like we keep talking about, that aren't so keen about therapy, or that's not your go-to thing, there's workbooks out there, there's guided journals out there, there's a whole host of resources that are at our disposal that can still encourage and teach and provide that psychoeducation that you may get in therapy. It's not going to go as deep as your therapist will probably, but it will give you that like background knowledge of like, okay, like communication skills, how to set my boundaries, all of those sort of things. And I don't want to put too much out just yet, but I do have curriculums and workbooks and different things that I'm going to hopefully be putting out in 2026. Yes, yes, yes. That focus on all of these things, because I hear what the community is saying. I hear what the people are saying. And me also being a therapist and me being an individual on the side. There's things that I'm seeking out in this world, and money is tight. Prices are high, and we understand these things. So I may not be able to fork out this amount of money to see a therapist, but I may be able to pay a smaller price for a workbook that can provide me with the psychoeducation I need to navigate these experiences.
So going back to what you said about what works for me may not work for you. So that was literally my first episode of You For You. It's called How Do You Do It, with the emphasis on you. And I was talking about how, specifically with my body image, like I have a really good body image about myself, and I have very high self-esteem physically, mentally. Like I will never beat myself down. I've never been that type of girl. I'm always like, I'm the queen, I'm on top. Like I have a very good viewpoint of me. And people would come to me and be like, whether I was on the thinner side or I was on the bigger side, and they'd be like, how do you have the confidence to do this or do that or whatever? And I'm like, because I love myself. Like but I'm not like that conceited, like arrogant kind of love myself. Like I genuinely have love for myself, and I give myself grace on a lot of my life experiences, and I don't dwell on things. So like a bad thing could happen to me, and I may be upset or angry in that moment. I feel my feelings and then I move on, which I feel like ties into the emotional unavailability thing, because people will be like, but I'm not done feeling about that. And I'm like, well, I am. Bye. which is like great for me, but not good for the people around me, because like, and I've had friends say this to me, like, I'm not really like a let's sit in this, because it's like, once I give you a solution or I give you all the knowledge that I have or everything, and you're not utilizing those, I don't feel like there's anything else for us to talk about. And then I just stop talking, and they'll be like, you know, that friend that calls you back about that ex for the 17th time. I'm not the friend to call. Like, I'm not, because I'm like, why are we dwelling on this? Why are we not moving forward? And sometimes it's more of a like, but I need to learn more. I need to sit more in this to learn more. Like, they're not done learning about it. But when it comes to me myself, and I'm learning about something, like, and I'm sitting in feelings about something in a situation, I don't really go for outside guidance. Like, again, with like therapy, like I'd rather just get it done myself, which ties into like the hyper independence. And then it's like, to me, it's I'm doing what I need to do. To you, I'm emotionally unavailable.
Yeah.
That was what I used to tell people. I'm like, listen, like I do what works for me, but I also am not a person that dwells in the bad things. Like, and as long as something, like, so for my breakup, for instance, as long as it's bothering me, I will go for a distraction, which is what I did. Partied, like craziness. And I looked for a distraction. And then when I had to sit with my own like sober thoughts, I was like, wow, that was like really bad. Like, and then I was like, well, let's get down to why we were doing that. And I did it on my own. Like, I didn't really like I would let my friends know, like, hey, I kind of realized this about myself. Like, what do you think? Like, do you feel like you see that from the outside perspective? And they would give me certain feedback and stuff. But for the most part, like, I sat in my room, in my house, just digging into myself and relating certain behaviors to certain traits, relating it back to, like, mental health and, like, heartbreaking things. I can't tell somebody, I did ABC, do it too. And then when they don't get the result that I got, they're like, well, you told me to do ABC. And I'm like, I told you ABC worked for me. If you want to take some ideas from that, you're welcome. So even for the gym, I've had gym anxiety since I graduated high school. When I was in high school, I was very active. I used to go to the gym all the time. When I graduated high school and I moved to New York and I was like by myself, you could not get me to go into Planet Fitness by myself because I didn't know anybody. I was like, no, I'm not going in there. And it took me a long time. I just recently got back into the gym this year, and it took me a long time to be comfortable with that. I used to sit outside of the gym in my car for the amount of time that I wanted to work out, and I'd watch people go in and out, and I'd like look at workout videos on my phone and say, well, I could do this. They have this machine and they have that. Like, and it took me like, I would say a month of like doing that multiple times a week for me to like muster up the courage to get a membership and walk through the door. It took a lot of like re-education for me to step foot in the gym. And a lot of people don't know that. So now, like you said, using the gym as your outlet, like now I'm a gym girly. If I don't go in there, I got an attitude. Like I'm having a bad day. If I didn't do my walk, I didn't get my steps in, I'm upset. Like today was not a win in my book. That's how I look at it now, which is like good for me physically, but also like mentally, I have this coping skill that is positive. It's not drinking, it's not partying, it's not being in rooms with people that don't care about me. It's me getting better for myself. People should figure that out on their own, you know what I'm saying, instead of trying to follow somebody else's step books. It's the same thing with workout plans. Like this workout plan may have worked for this person, it's not gonna work for you because you have a different body type or you have different health issues or whatever it might be. That was what my first episode was about. Like, this is what I did, but it may not work for you because you're not me. And we don't have the same mindset. Like, I've talked to a lot of people who are also big girls, and but they have low self-esteem. And I'm like, girl, nobody could ever make me not care about me. You know what? You could never like make me not want to like make sure I have the best for myself, make sure that I'm comfortable. Like, I'm a given person, but I'm not a people pleaser. So it's like, yeah, I'll do X, Y, and Z for you as long as I'm good. You have a goal that you want to do, but you're implementing other people in the conditions of that goal. And I feel like that's what the problem is, you know? But that's not for me to figure out. It's your journey. So you go do that.
I think a lot of people seek out like affirmations from other people and reassurance from other people. Yeah, validation. So they don't feel comfortable in making choices themselves. And honestly, that is a constant, that's a constant work. Me being someone who for a long time was a people pleaser, and I'm working on that, right? Constantly seeking out the validation from others and making sure other people are comfortable is a constant work, right? And what we were saying, that what works for me may not work for you. I always, like, clients may sit down and ask, like, what do you think? And I'm like, well, this is my opinion. Whether you choose to take it or not, that's up to you. And if you choose to take it, this is your life. I'm not telling you, you have to do this. So let's make that very clear, because people are very quick to say, well, you told me to divorce my husband. I never said that. I never told you to divorce your husband. I definitely said that if you feel like your needs are being met, we should vocalize that. That never, divorce never came out of my mouth. And when I take my therapist hat off and, you know, I'm with my friends, I always tell my friends, I was like, you do what you want when you popping. And girl, you are popping. So do what you want, right? Despite my opinion, okay? So it's always comes back to you as the person and working on being independent. We are so dependent on other people's views and other people's saying, like what other people say and their yes and their no, that we lose ourselves. And then on the other end of the spectrum, sometimes we are too independent that we don't have space to see what other people may see in us. Take criticism from other people because we're so dependent. And yes, we are the expert in our own experience, but sometimes people are watching this experience from the outside looking in. They're like, okay, like, you're doing this and I don't think you're very aware of this, and maybe, you know, this is the pattern that I'm seeing. And that's where like therapy comes into play. I'm seeing this pattern, you're telling me about these things that keep happening in your life and it looks like a cycle. Maybe we should break the cycle by changing this one thing. So yeah, like, definitely I'm a big advocate of like, do what works for you, but do what works for you in a healthy way. Right. Like, in emphasis on a healthy way. Like, because don't be out here doing anything. And I always, like, I work a lot with kids right now, so I'm always preaching positive coping skills, and I'm going to classrooms and doing these classroom lessons, and I'm like, okay, so if somebody takes, you know, your favorite toy during recess, what are we gonna do? And they're like, I'm mad, I'm gonna punch them in the face. I'm like, okay, you like, that is your way of coping with the situation, and that isn't positive, right? That is something that's gonna cause somebody else harm. What can we do that is positive and it is safe? Emphasis on positive and safe, okay? Like, I'm not against drinking or using, you know, other substances to provide yourself with relief, but there's ways to do that in a healthy way. Like, if we're coming home every day going after a bottle or getting a drink, that's becoming we're becoming dependent on that, and that isn't positive anymore. Right. If it's like, okay, like, I know I need a girl's night, I need to go out with my girls, you know, let my hair down. All right, get a drink, have a fun time. We're using being social as like a coping skill, like as a positive coping skill. So there's definitely ways to go about it. It just is all about what works best for you and what you're comfortable with at the end of the day.
I feel like that's kind of the basis of my podcast, is doing what works for you. Mm-hmm. Like, you for you. Our slogan is for you, about you, to be a better you. Mm-hmm. So I use a lot of like the DMs that I get, the emails that I get from people who are talking about their life experiences or talking about something they're navigating. And I always preface, I'm not a therapist. I'm not that kind of therapist. I'm not that kind of therapist. Yeah. I'm an occupational therapist. So I always like preface that, like, hey, look, I have no type of like mental health. Well, a little bit of mental health training, but again, that's on the occupational therapy side. Like, mm-hmm. I don't have actual mental health counseling like you do. Mm-hmm. So I'm just like, hey, this is just what I do in my personal life. Mm-hmm. I've had people come to me who have lost their parents at an early age, who have lost siblings, who have lost grandparents, and they're trying to like navigate how to go through life after that. And I've given them my experience and what I did and the things that I realized about myself afterwards. My episode that I had let go, that had let out this year in January, it was called Lessons Learned. And it was what I learned after my father had passed away. I didn't properly grieve him. And it set off this like domino effect for the next like 4 or 5 years of my life. I had this domino effect and I didn't realize it until after I had got out of my last relationship. And I did a lot of self-reflection. I'm extremely self-aware. I know what my problems are and I know that they're there and I know when they're showing. Like, I know when I'm like, okay, that's your trauma showing. But it's like some of them I'm not ready to face yet, or some of them I'm like, we'll cross that bridge when we get there. But like, a lot of people will ask me, well, how did you like navigate this? How did you navigate that? I'm like, baby, I don't know, but I did it and I'm okay now. like I did what I needed to do. And then like also just realizing that life goes on, and no matter what you go through at one point in your life, like we said, we just closed this chapter 1 to 25, your childhood, your high school experience, your college experiences. A lot of us did a lot of things for the first time. A lot of us didn't do anything for the first time. We're all at different spaces right now. Now we're in the next, you know, 25 years. Yeah. What do you want that to look like? Are you going to start a family? Do you want to start a business? Do you want to, you know, start a new career? Like navigating that, but also remembering like, okay, the things that I went through in this first 25 years of my life are going to affect the next 25, but it doesn't have to define the next 25. Like, we don't have to be like, I've always been this heartbroken 15-year-old. I'm going to be like that when I'm 30. And now I don't have no type of emotional regulation. Yeah. Everybody's going to get like, you have to learn to like take and give from what you have and what you want and balance it. Like, I feel like we're kind of on the same, like, you got the professional side. I got the podcast where I'm just yapping about it. You can't do everything at once, which is something I definitely need to learn. But also, like, you have to find the easy medium and try to maintain that as much as you can. Now, there's going to be times when you slip back, and I've had my slip backs. I just had a gym slip back real bad. I haven't been sitting, I haven't like properly been on my gym routine for like a good 5 weeks, and I feel it on my body. I can feel it. I'm not reverting back to that gym anxiety where I'm like, I'm gonna be in there, I don't know what I'm doing. People are gonna be like, you haven't been here so long, where you been? Oh, I can tell you haven't been in the gym. Like, that kind of like negative self-talk, I'm going back with a positive mindset of like, I did it before, I can do it again, and we're gonna do our best to maintain it. Life happens, like, it is what it is. But I feel like a lot of people, when they're faced with like new challenges, they revert back to where they were before, and it's like, no, we just came from that. Like, let's leave that back there. Let's move forward.
I definitely agree with everything that you're saying. Like, the process is so unique to the individual. That's what we miss sometimes. And also the idea of throwing therapy or counseling into the mix, that is something that is always there. Right? Like, you don't have to go to therapy once and solve all your problems, because honestly, all your problems won't be solved. Like, you will leave my office and you might encounter another process, like, or another experience, or have another problem. And the skills and the tools that you've learned in our sessions, or the skills and tools that you've learned even from past experiences, are what's going to help you navigate these new experiences. Like, I've had, especially working with kids, where I feel like we've met our goals. You know, we set our goals for, you know, our sessions, and we meet these goals in our therapy sessions. And I'm talking to parents, I'm like, so all the goals are met. They're done therapy. And the parents are distraught. They're like, what do you mean? What do you mean they're done? Like, it's like, I feel like they've barely been here. Like, what do you mean you're done? Or even like adult clients are like, I'm like, we're going over our goals. And I'm like, do you think you've met this? Yes. You think you've met this? Yes. You think you've met this? Yes. All right. So our work here is done. And they're distraught. Like, what do you mean? Like, I still need to talk to you. And I was like, about what? like we've met everything that we were supposed to do here. And doesn't mean that your growth stops here.
Right.
And sometimes people like that, there's that idea when it comes to therapy, like, once you're done, your growth has stopped. It's like, no, you keep growing. And growth isn't just a straight line. Like, growth is up and down. Growth is regressing and progression. Like, growth is all of these things. The phrase growth isn't linear is like so powerful, because it's like I keep saying, it's not a straight line. There's so many many different ways and so many different paths to growth that I think sometimes just our society and just our mind and our life anxieties and everything that's going on around us, we don't stop and see that. We're so focused on, okay, this is what this person is doing, or this is what I want my life to be, that we catapult ourselves to that idea right away and forget the journey there. Like we forget that there's a process, there's a growth process that we're gonna have to go through. We're gonna encounter some tragedy. We're gonna go through some trials. We're gonna have some negative experiences. We're gonna have to have some tough conversations to get to that place we need to go to get to. And sometimes we just completely put that in the back of our mind and just hop right over to the future. Mm-hmm. And when we hop right over to the future, we're distraught because we're like, wait, I wasn't prepared for this. But if we really basked in the journey and learned from our past experiences, we would be a little bit more prepared. We may not be fully prepared, but we might be a little bit more prepared to deal with the things that we come across.
And I definitely, you know me, I'm a God girl down. I'm gonna throw God in there, because the whole conversation about God will not give you what you're not ready for is so prolific in my life, because when my father had passed away and I was almost at the end of my program, I had to come out of my program because I didn't deal with the grieving properly and everything, and I had to start all over again. And now that I've done it again, did my internship, has went through the interviews, took my board exam, all that, and I am in my profession, I'm like, no way would I be able to navigate this when I was 22. The point in my life that I was at when I was 22, my mindset, what was going on in my personal life, like I would not be ready to be the therapist I am today at 22 years old, like I had planned to originally. But like, if I would have graduated the first time, like by the grace of God, I would be a horrible therapist. I'm telling you right now, it would have been awful, because I was not locked in the way I should have been locked in. Again, going back to what God says, how knowing, like now, okay, I'm out of relationship, I know what I want for my next 5-year plans. I go by 5 years at a time, so I know what I want for the next 5 years. And one of that towards the end of it is like, I want a family, I want to be able to start a family, like thinking about family planning and stuff. But I just came to this realization that I'm emotionally unavailable. I need to deal with that before I go and try to get somebody's son involved with my with my foolishness, like, you know, understanding that in order for me to have that life that I want, I have to deal with my emotional inability and my hyper independence before I can even go back into the dating world.
Those tough conversations with yourself.
Exactly.
Everyone's experience and process is so different, and even the formation and the birth of my private practice, like, actually came out of a negative experience. Working, I don't want to speak too much about it, but like, working in community mental health opened my eyes to so much. And then also working with the various people that I worked in that job, and like, just those experiences that I had in that job, I was like, this is not what I want for myself. I can't see myself doing this specific community mental health long term. I was burnt out, I was tired, I was mad, I hated my job, but I loved my clients. I loved my clients, but I hated my job. And like, that was so big for me. I was like, I want to wake up and enjoy going to work. I was waking up anxious, tired because I wasn't sleeping because I was anxious, angry that I even had to talk to people that I worked with. Like, I was so upset. And I was like, this is not what I want for myself. And I had to realign with my purpose. And even speaking on God, I feel like that's so powerful, and that played a big part, because I had to like go back and like pray and be like, realign me with my purpose. Like, realign me with what I'm here on this earth to do. And that's kind of where my private practice was birthed out of, because I'm just like, it kind of was speaking to that inner person in me that still is healing and growing throughout my life. There is things that I want for myself, things that I'm still working on, things I'm still growing through, things that I've grown past, and I feel like other people could benefit from, that I'm like, I can put these things out into the world that are so aligned with this purpose that God has put on my heart, and this is how I'm gonna do it. And that's how my private practice was birthed, and that was like the idea and the passion behind it. And that's what I'm so passionate about. I don't even know the word, like, excited and passionate about the field, like being a mental health therapist, working with kids, right now in the process of getting my play therapy license, which is specifically focused on like younger adolescents. Like, that is my passion, and meeting those kids where I'm at. And when you find your passion and your purpose,
I think reconnecting, realigning, and finding these coping skills, everything starts to fall into place because you've found the reason. You have a reason to wake up in the morning. Mm-hmm. It's more than just your job. It's like, okay, I may have to go to a job that I don't really care for, but I know like the rest of my waking hours I'm going to spend on growing this passion or working through this thing or these emotions that I've had in order to reach my next self.
Right. So I feel like that also ties into, like you said, loving what you do makes your days better. Mm-hmm. When you're in a job that you hate or you're doing something that you don't like doing, you wake up with an attitude, you're annoyed. Why do I have to be at this job? Why do I have to do this? And I feel like the job that I had throughout college that was putting me through college, I didn't like that job. I didn't. I'm not gonna lie. But I learned a lot from it. I was with the geriatric population, and now I'm on the flip side. I'm with children. I learned a lot from them, from their life experiences. Like, they gave me a lot of knowledge that at the time I was like, 2021, I'm like, I don't care. Like, I don't care. Now, like, navigating my adult life and just like different things, I've met amazing people through my old clients, whether it's their family or friends or other clients. I have been able to use that to my advantage. Till even now, I have lifelong friends, lifelong mentors that have like opened a whole new world to me. Now that I'm like an adult, I can use that knowledge for my own advantage. Had I just been like, well, I'm not doing this job no more, I'm just gonna go do something else, or I'm not going to work at all because I really didn't have to, I wouldn't be able to use those things like now. So again, about the taking a little bit from before and sprinkling it into the now so you can like balance better. Definitely, I would say probably 2 or 3 weeks into getting my first job after my degree, I was so happy. I was like, I love this job. This is great. And it made me want to go for my master's. Originally, I wasn't going to do that. During that process, I had to realize, okay, I have to go to this job that I don't like so I can fund this degree that I do like to be in the profession that I love. Going through the hard times for a light at the end of the tunnel, which I feel like sometimes the tunnel can be so dark that you can't see the light. And I'll be trying to tell my friends, like some of my friends who are still like, you know, completing undergrad or whatever it is. And I'll be telling them like, bro, once you're done, everything is going to open up. Like everything, the light is going to be so bright, it's blinding once you get to the end. But if you're just at the beginning or if you're in the middle, that light is very small. Mm-hmm. That dot is very, very tiny and it's going to look like nothing. And then when you're finally done and you're in a profession that you love, a job that you love, or even like in other things, being at the gym, you finally reach your body goals or whatever goals that you have, you feel that sense of like accomplishment, and it will make everything else kind of like dissipate.
Definitely it sounds like going back to that places and spaces, like having those people that are uplifting you can create a world of difference, especially when you're in tunnel. Like you were talking about, like having those people that are like cheering you on and like they're at the end of the tunnel, like, hey, you got this. Or even people that are in the tunnel with you that are like, I'm in here with you.
Right.
We're holding hands and we're walking through this tunnel together because we see the light. Like that is so important and so big, because when you're in these moments or in these experiences where they feel too hard to handle and you feel yourself getting into those negative spaces or going to those negative coping skills, you can rely on these people. Like even in the forming of my private practice, I was still at that job and I hated it. Like just to put it plainly, like it was horrible, but I had two really good friends that I met along the way at that job that literally encouraged me every day. Though I would complain, they'd be like, okay, I hear you complaining, but what can we do about this? Nothing. So let's figure out something else. And they like when I tell you, uplifted me every day. Like I thank God to this day for these people, and they're lifelong friends because they literally empowered me. And like when I opened my private practice, it was a big celebration. When I got my license, it was a big celebration. Like got a new job, they were celebrating me and one of my friends. Now we left our old job and now we're still working together in a new job. And it's like just the connection and the empowerment that I got from these people is what helped me feel more motivated, helped me in my growth process. So it's about the spaces and places. It's about the people. It's about your self-motivation. All of these things that are within you that you can also extend yourself to connect with too. Like a lot of it is within, and it's a lot of it is willpower, a lot of it is being self-aware, but another part of it is also surrounding yourself with those right people. And if you don't have those right people, you know, you can go on Google, go find a therapist. Right? Like, I had to throw it out because, you know, I'm a therapist. But like, there's more than just therapy. And I don't want to just keep beaten down, therapy, 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 because I know a lot of people say, like, people hear other people's trauma on social media or hear other people's trauma, and it's like, oh, you should go to therapy. Like, it's easier said than done. Like, we talked about it, like, sometimes people are not there, like, they're not there in their process yet. It's intimidating. Sometimes it feels inauthentic. Sometimes it just is not for you. Like, and that's understandable, but you have to do the work now to find those people to surround yourself with to uplift you, those places that will continue to help you grow, those spaces that will nurture your inner self and realign you with who you want to be at the end of the day.
Beautifully said. Absolutely beautifully said. Like I said, I feel like a lot of our a lot of our goals really align a lot. But you're the professional and I'm just yapping. I just like to talk. I just like yapping. But thank you so much for being on my podcast. Honestly, I don't know why I didn't think of it before. I don't know why I didn't click. Should have clicked a long time ago. But you know, time and place, right time, wrong thing. You're the first professional I've had on here, actually. Really? You're the first like actually licensed professional. Everybody else have been like, you know, like me, like we're just people experiencing life and we talk about our experiences. So I'm super excited about that. If you want to touch back on your events and all the little details, we can get into that and give you a nice little send off.
It was such a pleasure being here. I had so much fun. This is honestly my first time just really talking about being a therapist and my private practice and my passion to somebody that wasn't my friend or my family, who are probably like sick of hearing me say it over and over again. So I appreciate the platform and just it's time to like talk about it. I hope to be on many more if you would have me. So Instagram handle is at Balanced and Bloom Counseling. There you can find all my social media content. Right now I just finished up a series on boundaries, which was so good. It's so powerful. I was posting that stuff and I was like literally like saving them in my mind for myself. And more details about my event. Again, my event is January 10th, 2026. It's going to be out in South Jersey. It's from 3 to 5, and the name of the experience is the Homegirl Reset Experience. I'm going to be dropping more stuff about the event on my Instagram and on my TikTok, so like and follow to stay in the loop. And my TikTok is Softly Balanced.
Thank you so much for being here and just sharing your knowledge and experiences. It's highly appreciated. Make sure you guys are also following our page at U4UPod on Instagram for updates on new episodes and fun things for 2026. This is U4U, a podcast for you, about you to be a better you.